Okay, yes, I believe so. All righty. All right, ready? Okay. Rick, you ready?
I'm ready.
I will call to order the regularly scheduled Board of Supervisors meeting on this Tuesday, April 3rd, 2012. I would ask the audience to join us with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, great. Right. Okay. Board, I'm going to request that we pull the consideration of the minutes of 3/27/12. We just don't have them in our packet to review at this time. Okay. And then moving on down to item four here is the public comment number one. This is where members of the audience may address the board on a topic on today's agenda. And we have Nancy Miller, who would like to address us. Please come on down. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm a little worked up today, and my printer didn't work, so I'm going to be speaking from a very few notes that I quickly put together, so bear with me.
Okay.
Okay?
No problem.
I am addressing the additional items, number two, continued discussion and presentation of the five-year construction program.
Okay.
Okay? First off, I'm just going to tell you, I'm really tired of being the nice little story kind of girl that just lets everything pass. This nice little story kind of girl that understands the budget probably more than a lot of folks, okay? And I've been extremely patient regarding paving 600th Avenue, okay? Now, I will show you that on the 2006, and I have it right here. I got a copy of this from that nice young man over here in the auditor's office a number of years ago. This is the 2006 five-year program. It was signed March 15th, 2005 by Robert B. Speary and Wayne E. Clinton.
Okay?
Now, on this particular plan, 600th was scheduled to be paved in 2008. At the time frame of 2005-2006, Lincoln Way Energy and the co-op became annexed into Nevada. As a result of that, the only thing that has changed, mind you, not the traffic patterns, the only thing that's changed is tax base. As a result of that, quite frankly, it was pulled from the plan and has not appeared since. Yeah, it was on some wish list last year or something of that nature, which doesn't mean a gosh darn thing. All right? Now, it was pulled. Can you count how many years that is? 2005, and I will say 2005 because that's when it was signed. We are now in 2012. And not a gosh darn thing has been done about it. I was given some hope when you supervisors went to the DOT and says, get off your behind. So they did us this little show and tell thing. I called it in memos to you dog and pony show, and I called it that to them. Because they didn't tell us a gosh darn thing. The reality is what they sent back to me is we're talking about another 20 years. It's already been on the map for 20 years. That's just something they're going to do. I hold no hope in the DOT making any concrete changes within that affect 600th or any of the other roads along US 30. Okay? As a result, I'm coming back to the Board of Supervisors, to the county, and say, you know what? It's time to right the wrong. And that's precisely what has happened. Now, we have lived at our location since 1974. That's 38 years. 38 years. Okay? It has even been suggested to me, God forbid, well, you don't like it? Move. Are you kidding me? 38 years. And you want us to move because your economic development has created a catastrophe. And I will call
Nancy,
it that.
Nancy, who suggested to you that you should move?
Lincoln Way Energy.
Not the county.
Rick Britt.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I should have indicated that. Well, that was an absurd comment. Totally unreasonable. I'm surprised I didn't slap him.
I'm glad you didn't.
Not in Story County.
Not in the public meeting, for God's sakes. Okay. Yes. Based upon what I brought to the board, they did reduce the speed limit to 35. Has that been effective? Not on your life. Not on your life. Here's why. Even at 35 miles an hour, the dust that accumulates under the semis and then flows into the air, which is twice the height of the semi, okay, even at 35, happens. Okay? Now, I was kind of hoping that our sheriff's department would accommodate us in terms of going out there and sitting a few times and passing out some speeding tickets. Okay? Unfortunately, their radar system is not such that they can park in our driveway, which provides a very hidden space to the road, visible, okay? But their radar system, they got to be parked along the road. Well, guess what? That's, for the most part, a pretty gosh darn straight, level road. So therefore, here comes the semis. They see the cop up there, policeman up there, the sheriff up there. They slow down. I would, too. I would, too. So the 35-mile-an-hour speed limit has not been effective. 2 years ago, well, even during this whole time, I suggested, how about blacktopping it? That's cheaper than paving. Blacktopping. Bob Spiri, and I could go back and find this on the audio tape. By the way, let me finish my other thought. When this was removed from the plan, okay, it was done in secret. Why? Because back then there was no respect for transparency. No respect. There was no notes, no minutes, and certainly no audio of that meeting. Now, I got that information directly from Bob Spiri. Now, in a court of law, that would be declared hearsay. I don't care. This isn't the court of law. This is what Bob Spiri told me. And you guys know I don't lie. And I've got an awfully gosh darn good memory. He told me this after I cornered him after a Board of Supervisors meeting and asked some very, very direct questions. And you know my background. I'm able to do that. And he finally told me what happened. He finally told me what happened. Now, do you understand why I'm saying it's time to right a wrong? It's absolutely time to right a wrong. Okay? I suggested that we blacktop it. Bob Spiri's words were, the semi-traffic would tear up the blacktop in no time at all. Now, what does that tell you, folks? What that says is we've got an unconscionable amount of semi-traffic. Yesterday, I was out in my yard doing a lot of things. Quite frankly, I was watering the 43 trees that we planted as an effort to try to reduce this dust. But it's going to take 5, 10, 15 years before those trees reach 40 feet tall to be able to act as a barrier. Okay? I was out there. I counted at least 14 semis in under an hour. Under an hour. Now, we were fortunate yesterday. The wind was from the east. The wind was from the east. When it's from the south or the west, we eat dust. How pleasant do you think it is to have a barbecue outside and have some guests over, and dust is coming and totally covering the whole gosh darn area? You've been out there. You folks haven't, but you know what? Come on out. Sit on my patio. I'll even make homemade lemonade from scratch and make some cookies.
Under $3.
Under $3.
I'm just trying to lighten.
I'm talking about homemade. There is no lightness to this, Wayne.
No, I understand, and I appreciate your frustration, and I also appreciate you addressing us in the manner in which you are. I think, again, don't take my comment
frivolly.
Yes, as not understanding the magnitude of what you're trying to tell us,
okay,
and why you believe it's important as we move forward, because these have been things discussed in many years. So I'm not dismissing that in any way, shape, or form.
Okay. And yes, I'll repeat, I'm pretty worked up about this.
Rightly so.
Okay. Now, in my communication last week with Darren, what he came back to me was, quite frankly, a copy. Because I asked him, I said, could you possibly find me any asphalt millings again this year? It's been 2 years since we put asphalt millings on there. And did it help? Yeah, it helped. Okay? Now, the response that I got back from Darren was simply a copy and paste of last year's memo that said, you know what, if you pay for it, I might be able to find you some. Excuse me. We need to right this wrong.
Is Millings writing the wrong, or is Millings kick the can down the road
kick
and
the
acceptable?
Can down the road.
But is that an acceptable kick the can down the road?
No.
Is it okay?
No longer. I'm tired of putting Band-Aids on this situation. I am totally tired of it. I'll repeat it. I'm tired of being the sweet little Story County girl that doesn't say anything. Oh, golly gee, I know your budget constraints. Golly gee, I'll wait. I won't say anything. I won't raise a big fuss. Well, guess what? This wrong was committed prior to the recession. Back when we had money in this county and could have done it, but for petty reasons, it was pulled. Totally petty reasons. And I don't fault you for signing the plan. Understand that. That was just
okay, I'll let you go ahead and finish, and then I'll just make a couple comments. Go ahead.
Yeah. All right. As you listen to this five-year plan that Darren is going to present, and I hope he presents it line by line by line, and I do expect, as I'm sure that you do, justification on each line item. Now, to say, well, it's been on the plan for a long time, doesn't cut it. Absolutely doesn't cut it. Because essentially, we've been on the plan since 2005. 2005, that is longer than anybody else has been on that plan. Okay? That's what I expect. And I respectfully request that you that the road get paved this year. Because you know what? This plan, and I got it directly from the board DOT, because I called them inquiring about farm-to-market roads. And I also asked, so how much is this cast in cement? Oh, no. It's a guideline. Changeable at any point in time. I request, very respectfully, and you'll have to excuse my yelling because I'm worked up. I respectfully request that this road be paved this year, at the very least, next year. No exceptions. I'm tired of waiting. And it's time to right the wrong that was done.
Okay. All right.
Just a point of order, Wayne. Are we allowed to discuss this now, or do we need to hold this till we get into the
additional items? We actually need to hold it to the additional items. I think this is the opportunity for the individual to comment regarding a topic, and I want to thank you for that, and we will maybe ask a question or comment on it a little bit later. Okay? Thank you, Nancy. Anyone else that would want to comment on an item that is on today's agenda? Okay? All right. Moving on. No public hearing. So, first item under additional items is the continued discussion and presentation of the five-year construction program. Darren Moon, our engineer. Okay? Come on down, Darren. Thank you for being here. Okay.
Good morning.
Morning.
We pretty much made it through my presentation last week, but we were a little hurried, so I decided to come back so we could have more of the discussion at the end here. I did add a couple more slides at the end from some of our discussion. There was a lot of questions about what are our possible funding sources? What are all the options we have out there? So I put one slide together on that. I guess before I start that, one bit of bad news is the talk of road use tax increase is essentially dead at this point. Quite frustrating because, from what I hear, it had the votes. It pretty much wouldn't go anywhere because of one person. The Speaker of the House has the power to not discuss the issue, so that's the reason it didn't get discussed. One thought we had after that took place is you look at that Speaker of the House is from Linn County. You look at the Linn County's road budget, it might answer why he wasn't real interested in increasing the use tax. I've got that here somewhere. We compare ourselves to Linn County a lot when we do our budgeting, but when it comes to roads, they get $4.3 million in local option sales tax to the road department, to a total budget of somewhere between $15 and $17 million. So that might have something to do with why he didn't see the need for it in Linn County anyway, but I just wanted to give you that information.
Darren, if I could interject just briefly, I spent last week Thursday at the Capitol because you indicated you would, Wednesday, I believe, that you would not be able to go. So I was there as part of the contingency. We had well over 65 representatives from across the state. We met each of the congressional delegations in the House. tried to talk to them about whether this would be brought up in chambers so that it could be debated. I met with each of our Story County delegations as well regarding this, and the feeling, basically, as you indicated, was that, yes, the votes were there. But the reason that Paulson did not bring it up was that the governor had not given a signal that he would support it, while earlier he had indicated that he didn't reject the idea, but it was a going against a pledge of some determining that this user fee was still a form of increased taxes, and therefore that it wasn't politically done, going to get done this year. Representative Deal told me in so many words that the likelihood of it being discussed next year is more reality. However, who's to say that with the current funding issues that the state is facing, that that would be even a possibility as well. But so it appeared like the timing was right for them to consider it at least a 4 cents increase and then phase it in over the next few years. But the political will was there, but the process did not allow it to come forth at this time. And so I don't know what are the options you guys and the road departments are going to basically deal with. I don't think we can count on the DOT continuing to find an additional $50 million in other dollars that could spread out toward local counties. So I think it's putting counties in a position where they're going to have to come up with some assessments down the road in order to meet the obligation of these improving these roads or turning them back to gravel, just not doing anything, or closing them. There were several counties that have already closed four or five bridges in their county because they just didn't have the means to pay for this. So I know it's frustrating from your end, but also the general public, the way it was presented in the earlier poll, was not supportive of the additional tax at this time with the high cost of gasoline. So there were a couple factors that were weighing in the hands of the Speaker of the House as well as the governor, I think, in why this is not being moved forward at this time. But it does restrict us in terms of having a legitimate funding source that not only applies to Iowans, but for all people who use the roads that travel into our state and outside of our state. So I thought it was a good effort on your part. I hope that you guys will continue as county engineers to address this issue. The supervisors are in support of you. However, the political process says that it's probably not going to happen this year.
Well, thank you. I just wanted to bring up speed on access. Definitely part of our five-year plan. It's going to affect that definitely. So, but as we move on, we do have these funding options are available. These aren't necessarily the right thing to do, but these are what we have available to us. The first one is local property tax levies for secondary roads. We are currently, there's a cap on that, what we can levy and transfer into roads, and right now we're at $2.5 million is our cap, but our actual is at $2.025 for FY11. That's last year's actual dollars.
And Darren, help me with that. We have to levy 75% of the limit in order to qualify for other funds. So is that how we get to the $2,025,000?
Essentially, that we didn't want to fall under that 75% because then they take money away of road use tax dollars. So yeah, that it's not exactly 75, but we try to at least get that 75. So yep. Yeah. And then on top of our 2.025, we do get $240,000 in the past of local option sales tax money. So you could add that onto the 2.02. That's the next option is local option sales tax money. And like I mentioned, Linn County, I wanted to point that out. A lot of counties do get a lot of money in local option sales tax money. So there's a lot of have counties out there and a lot of have-nots, and that seems to be getting more and more spread apart. But a couple other ones, Dubuque County in particular, yeah, they get over $3 million from local option sales tax, and there's a lot of counties here over in the million-dollar range to get to. So a lot of counties do take advantage of that for roads. Pay for projects directly from the general fund. ISAC put out a bulletin on this a few years back saying that is an option. A lot of counties weren't even aware you can pay for a specific project out of the general fund without transferring that money into secondary road fund. I don't think a lot of counties do that. TIF funds, that's something we've been discussing for a long time here, so that's another option for funding roads. And lastly, bonding, which we have already done in 2008, but that has to be tied to some sort of economic development. I guess before I hit this last slide, I'll go back and answer any questions over the entire program itself. Any project you have specific questions on? Or
well, my first thought, Darren, would kind of come back to the process when we talk about paving any road. And as we look at, first of all, the different funding sources that we have, and whether they're farm to market or they're the SDA state dollars that can come in, you look at traffic counts. What are the other basic factors that come in? We're not talking about an overlay right now. I'm talking about where you go from a gravel surface to some form of hard surface, whether it be asphalt or concrete. Could you outline some of the decision points, thresholds that you as an engineer consider when you begin to put these things before us?
I'd say 10 to 15 years ago, the guideline we used as county engineers was you start getting over the 300 vehicles per day, and 400 was kind of that tipping point where then we said something more needs to be done. That's where it kind of went into paving. That's where it really got our attention to pave. But like I say, that 10, 15 years ago, from that point on, paving new roads in most counties just kind of disappeared because the funds weren't there to do it. So we do have a few roads out there with a lot more than 400 vehicles a day, and we can't afford to get those paid either. So that's the main thing we look at is a traffic count. Like you already mentioned, the next thing is the system it's on. It's local, farm to market, or federal aid. The farm to market system can be amended and changed, and have looked into that on 600 in particular, and that's an application process. They meet once or twice a year, that board, and I've discussed that road in particular with them, and that could be done.
What is our farm to market in that area? Dealing with 600th, what is our farm to market designation in that area right now?
600 is local only right now. It's not farm to market. 580th was farm to market, and that's how that got paved by Brecky's feed store out there. Okay. And the next two, 590th, is because 600th are local only. So,
but there is a process that we could initiate to go through to try to change farm to market from 580th to 600th. You would lose it on 580th, which would create problems on maintaining that road.
In general, I don't think they would take a paved road off the system. So we'd have to find another gravel road somewhere that we don't think is getting the farm to market traffic as much. So it's a give and take. So you'd have to take something off. But if it's already paved, so they don't want to see that come off the system.
Remind me, Darren, is there anything on the plan that you've presented us in the next 2 years, is there any road that we're planning on taking from gravel to pavement on that plan as you presented it last week?
The only one is 590th Vetter because of the TIF money we're spending on.
A quarter mile
section. That would be the only one that's actually in the program, yeah.
Okay.
And if we go back and just think about the concept when we set up the initial TIF funding, we tried to look at some aspect of a tie-in with either economic development through trails or through an improvement in the general area and so forth, but we did not have any parameters for future uses. This was not like the bonding dollars, which had to be tied to economic development initiatives. So potentially future developments could be determined with the increased revenues that would come from that particular funding source if we so determine that those would be appropriate roads or bridges or whatever it is could be used. And so we would have to go through our general plan of identifying what they were, what the cost would be, and then making a decision as to whether or not we would move forward or not. Would that, is that the general idea, your understanding of what the future would hold as far as the road improvement with the use of those dollars?
Yep, you definitely do that. And where it gets tricky, especially when we're talking about grant between Ames and Gilbert,
right.
Cities have the power to defer that or put that cost on the developer to pave the road.
Right.
Counties do not have that option. So when we get around cities in particular, that's tough for the county because we have no other option but to pay for it ourselves. And a lot of times when you do those projects right around the cities, they get annexed real quick afterwards, and then our investment's kind of gone. So, but we don't have that option unless the landowners want to be assessed at least half the cost, the adjoining landowners to the road. That's really our only option for assessing costs to somebody else.
Just in general terms, I mean, now may be a good time to talk about our views on the TIF funds, because I hear us going that direction. I'm a believer that what this board chose to do with the Vetter property in paving that first quarter mile, that's exactly what the state envisioned the TIF funds being for. It is basically Vetter paying for the first quarter mile themselves through the increase in valuation. So that's one option. If we start going down the road of using TIF dollars or actually TIFing, where we would be bonding with the promise to pay for paving roads, I think we're getting outside of what TIF was, what you really intended to. That said, we do have to recognize that through the 123 wind farms plus the two new ones right here south of Nevada, there are some additional dollars coming into the county over the next 7 years as that thing ramps up that I believe if as a board we're creative in identifying those dollars, it looks to me like we're always able to take dollars from the general fund and use it for roads if we so choose. It's just a priority question. It becomes, okay, either you're going to spend those dollars here or you're going to spend them there or your levy rate's going to be lower. I mean, you just start making decisions. One thing I wanted to talk about is, and clear it's not a decision day on this, but if we have the ability to levy an additional $500,000, which is what I'm seeing here, specifically related to road use, and we recognize, I think it was $1 million that you said we were short every year, just being able to maintain what we have. That's a conversation that I think the three of us need to have as we work into next year's, that'd be the FY14 budget. If you believe that the county maintaining and improving roads is an essential function of government, which I do. We have to recognize that we have to spend a certain level. Now, I'm of the impression that we held last week's conversation to this week really for one reason, and now with Nancy coming to see us today for two reasons. I felt like we held it because we needed to have more conversation about what I call 530th, north of 190th, and now with Nancy coming to us today, we need to have the conversation about, you know, 590th, 600th, that whole corridor right there. I think I'm a little like Nancy. I was hopeful that DOT was gonna move on this thing. The realities of government is that things never move quite like you want it to move. But am I missing something, Darren? Was there something else that we needed you to come back for us to be able to discuss since we were short on time last week?
No, but you mentioned 600. One thing that did come out of that meeting about 600 with the DOT is a lot of the pressure on 600 is going to be determined how that interchange goes in Nevada. The airport road, if that's going to be just a strict overpass only, that's going to put a lot more pressure on 600. And at that meeting, the city of Nevada said they were going to look at that again because if they're going to develop that corner lot at airport and 30, they probably need access there.
Right, but if that's 20 years away, that still feeds into our conversation.
How far down the road
here,
that is.
Sooner rather than later.
Yep. But other items I wanted to make sure we hit today at least, the program itself can be approved like it is. if you do decide to spend TIF money on maybe the grant, that doesn't even necessarily have to be in our program because of the type of, we like to have everything run through the program, but because that money doesn't go through the secondary road fund, if you spend TIF, it wouldn't have to be in the program. So you could make that decision at a later date if you wanted to.
Or if we were to spend general fund dollars to do it, it would not have to go through the program, if I'm hearing you correctly.
That's correct.
Right.
But the two items I want to discuss is McFarland Park Road and the bond money. We do have a little bit of bond money left, like $120,000. We really want to utilize that by the end of the fiscal year because we don't have any bond money program for budgeted for next year. The only way to make that happen at this point, bonding attorney said he will work to get that notice of the hearing wording done quickly. It'll be 2-3 weeks, but in order to get the project built, we need to have that letting scheduled for April 17th. So we're going to have to let it before that hearing is held, which our bonding attorney did not have a problem with because he said that's strictly up to the board on how they want to spend that money. The hearing just has to be held, and we didn't have any opposition to those bond funds in the past, so I don't expect any more, but that's up to you.
On April 17th, and this is something that the board hasn't discussed, but I think we need to discuss today, I'm not convinced we're going to have a quorum here. Wayne, I know you're out of town that day. Paul, I wasn't sure. I'll be around, but I've scheduled another meeting on top thinking that maybe we weren't going to have a meeting on the 17th.
I was going to bring that up during the announcement period, but I'm not going to be
announced. I think we will not have a quorum.
The 17th's not a possibility.
Okay. We'll have to push it back 1 week then. That's going to really be pushing it because we're tying that for an old stub payment with that in one letting. I think we can still get that done, but that is very last minute. That'll work, but I just want to make sure that'll help this process a little bit too. I just want to make sure you're okay with letting that project before that hearing to switch the bond money to pay for it. I suppose worst case scenario, decide in the end not to use the bond money, we could just amend our local budget and pay for it a different way because that project's still in our program, so we've addressed it as a need we're going to do one way or another.
But
I just want to make sure, okay, having what, the project let before
why
that
was
hearing,
that, so. Is that specifically identified as a project that could be used and something else not identified? I mean, I realize it's part of the extension of the area that we had originally started on Dayton Avenue.
Yeah, it's essentially an extension of Dayton at the end. And that's where the bonding attorney is really comfortable with doing this because generally when counties bond for road projects, they don't specify the projects they're going to do.
Right.
We did.
Right.
That's why he thinks we need to have this hearing to add it in. But he said it should just be a formality, but he wants to do that. But generally the counties don't have any hearings for specific roads. They can spend it on any road they want to, but
I'm appreciative that we were able to do the previously identified project in enough of a cost savings that, in essence, we're able to just do a little more on that same project, is frankly how I'm viewing this one, Darren. So that's where I am. I was just concerned about the 17th.
Okay. Well, we'll set it up, the letting, for the next week then, and we'll just have to hurry getting the contract signed, but we should still have time to get it done. The last item is, well, we already discussed a little bit for TIF. For me in planning, I just want to know if there's any more discussions we need to have on spending roads or TIF money for bridges. The bridges take 2-3 years to get designed and ready to go, and just want to make sure that discussion's had, and then we can move on and plan easier if we know if that's even an option or not. We discussed a couple of bridges we have concerns with coming up. We don't know how long they're going to last. They could last another 10 years, but we just don't know. Our bridges get inspected again this fall, and that's when the issues pop up because they repost bridges and recommend closures and everything. So we can run it through another bridge inspection cycle, but that's just another item I wanted to make sure we at least discuss.
Darren, it brings up a good point, and it's something that I believe that the three of us need to get on our agenda sooner rather than later, and that is what kind of process we're going to use now that we've established the TIF districts. What kind of process are we going to use in determining how and if we utilize any TIF dollars for projects, whatever they be they bridges or economic development projects. we have to identify, as I see it, a way for that to be applied for us to have the public hearings and discussion that we need to have, and ultimately make a decision. Now, it may get taken out of our hands depending on where the state goes with everything, but it seems to me that sooner rather than later, the three of us ought to have the conversation of what kind of process do we see for Darren to come to us and say, really want to do these bridges. I think it's an appropriate TIF use. I'm not convinced that you're going to win me over on that conversation, Darren, but we need to have the process in place to figure out how we get through that.
I think you're right. We've like you said, we've gone down the road. We've established the TIF districts, and now we need to have the discussion of what are appropriate projects to spend the money on.
Yeah, I just want to know how we're going to get to are they appropriate projects, because I don't even think we have that in place at this point, and I just like that to be predefined where everybody's going through the same process to ask us to utilize TIF dollars.
And I guess the other part of that conversation can also be that there's, since we've done these TIF districts, there's at least two more commercial wind towers that have been put up in the county. You know, and not counting the two out here outside of Nevada, there's one northeast of Maxwell that's up, and there's one south and east of Roland that's up. So.
Right. Well, and one of the conversations, as I understand, Darren, maybe you can fill us in more on this, that they're having at the State House right now is the possibility of saying that you can only use wind farm-generated TIF dollars for roads and bridges, which is something that I'd like them to get to the end of their conversation, because then that makes it easy for us.
I've read it both ways, that the counties can only use wind-generated TIF dollars for roads and bridges. I've also heard that there was an amendment to that to not allow counties to TIF wind parcels at all.
Okay.
So it's still being debated both sides of the issue.
That's going to make a huge difference on what we do from here on out. We're okay with what we've got, but from here on out, that'll be a huge difference. So,
all right. Well, then I would ask that we get on our April 24th agenda, Shelley, just discussion of the supervisors on TIF process. I'm not asking for us to make a decision that day, but I'd like to get it on a future agenda where we know it's coming and we can start thinking about it and see where we want to go.
Darren, also, from your perspective, what is the next avenue? I mean, this normally when you bring your five-year improvement plan to us, we basically have a discussion. At some point, we have to make a determination as to the adoption of that plan or any modification or amendments. How do you see that playing out in lieu of the discussion that we've had this morning? And do we need to take a look at what we have currently committed for this year and next year? I guess I want to make sure that we have covered all of the bases in the discussion. While I am very appreciative of the passion of Nancy and her desire in there, but it still comes down to us having a collective decision as to what is the best use of those dollars and the projects that we deem to move forward. But I do think that she raises several questions that we owe it to her that we address, rather than basically saying, well, we've talked about it here, we moved it off for this reason, we realize there's two other paved roads on both sides. Because yesterday in my trip to Ames, I saw four semis coming directly and turning on that 600, and I kept saying, maybe we need to go back to the ethanol plant again and ask them to again encourage their people not to use those two areas. But there again, that's always a problematic situation. We have no assurance that that's what's going to take place, but I would agree with Nancy that even in my short period, I saw four vehicles, you know, turning right there just as I was going to Ames. So
I look down 600th every time I drive by there and think of Nancy, and especially this time of year. If you don't see a truck, you see a plume of dust, I mean, you know.
And so, but then that raises another issue. We have a county policy when it comes to dust control. But yet these trucks are creating a real dilemma there, and the property owners basically have only a certain distance within their property that they basically pay for that. And we as a county have not really stepped in to pay for dust control simply based upon increased truck traffic to and from a particular business, to my knowledge. Is that correct?
No, we only pay for it in a detour route situation, which we have right now up at E18. But when a major route gets closed like that, traffic's going to take the next nearest mile. So we did dust control some areas up there. But other than that, we have, at least a year or two ago, it was over 400 individuals that paid to have dust control in front of their property. So we do have a program in place for that. And the other issue with the millings, we also... there was another instance somebody wanted milling, so they paid the additional cost above what the normal rock would be, the difference between millings and rock, and they paid that difference to put down in front of their place, so we allowed that in that case. So we need to be consistent on whatever we do.
What's the difference in price?
It was somewhere between $4 and $5 a ton, and this wasn't a long stretch, and they had multiple property owners to pay for it, so it wasn't.
But I'm only seeing this as a short-term possibility, if at all, because the priority would be, as the request is, to pave it. And part of the rationale is also the future of what happens when the new DuPont Dinesco plant goes in. Are we going to see increased traffic here?
Well, does anybody doubt that we're going to see increased traffic?
Yeah, there's no question. No question.
The other discussion we've had is closing the road. Close it from the south end.
Yeah,
and that'll eliminate your through truck traffic on that road if it's closed.
Yeah, I thought we went through the conversation last year, and we came up with you could close the road. We talked about load limiting and found out we could not do that. If you close the road, where do you close it? Which road, either... I thought we had the conversation, and there was general acceptance on this body that eventually we were going to pave either 590th or 600th, and it was dependent upon where we felt DOT was headed in terms of what they do with the airport, where the overpass is. Yeah. It has become apparent to me through the conversations in DOT that nothing's happening, which I don't think removes the responsibility from us of making a decision. And I'm not sitting here today and saying, oh, my God, 600th, we have to go pave that. But I am saying we need to recognize that either 600th or 590th is going to be a major truck thoroughfare, and I believe it's incumbent upon this board to figure out which one we prefer, which one it actually goes to, and then take action along those lines sooner rather than later. I mean, I think if any one of us lived where Nancy lived and was going through what Nancy was going through and over the time... By the way, I'm happy that it all happened like it did, because Nancy, you and I would have never met had your road gotten paved in 2005 or 2006. But it doesn't alleviate us from the responsibility of recognizing that one of those two roads is going to have heavy, heavy truck traffic. And we need to have the conversation of which one it's going to be, and then we need to take the steps necessary to get it done. That's my personal belief. I'm sitting here today, while I'd love to say, oh, let's go pave 600th right now, and everybody leaves here happy. I'm not ready to do that yet, because I'm not convinced... Okay, we're paving a quarter mile of 590th right now. Maybe that's the road that makes sense, with DuPont Dinesco going right up on the corner of 590th right there north. That may be the one that makes the most sense. But we have to have that conversation, because I don't think we can wait for DOT anymore. I think we've got to make a decision and move on. The other one that I think we've got to discuss today is we've got to discuss what our process is going to be for considering... 530th north of 190th. Clearly, with the high school being completed next summer, I mean, we got to, depending on what we're going to do there, and if we're going to recognize that there's an issue we got to deal with, it's something we got to move on for Darren to be prepared to do anything. Should we take action? And I'm not sure, Darren, how far down the road on these two we need to go today, but I would hope that the three of us recognize that we've got to make a decision on these two areas sooner rather than later in order to move ahead.
Essentially, for planning for me, we can go ahead and approve the program like it is, and we already mentioned Grant particularly use special monies, doesn't have to necessarily go through the program, and the program can be amended. So we can move forward. It has to be on the board agenda next week because we got to get in by April 15th to DOT, but it can be amended after that point.
Well, and I think that's an important distinction to note, that it can be amended, because so often when we approve something, we have that mentality or mindset that we've approved that, and that's the direction that we're going to go, and yet extenuating circumstances oftentimes come into play, and I think the amendment process allows us to be able to take a look at that, because I do think there are some unresolved questions here that need to be fully vetted, and in this case, it's not just to benefit one particular property owner. I mean, there are factors here that have contributed to the increased issue of the usage of this road, and there is, in my opinion, legitimate reasons for us to fully try to determine what is in the best interest of how we proceed. Do we pave this road? Do we take other measures that has been already mentioned, or do we do nothing? And I just don't think that the do-nothing option is a very good option in lieu of what the future holds with the increased traffic potential that is currently going to be there.
Mm-hmm. Rick mentioned embargoes. I just want to bring up real quick, there was some bills introduced in the legislature this year that would allow counties to embargo a road year-round, which would be helpful out there, but I need to track those. And I don't think they've went anywhere yet, but that would be an option if it did pass.
Okay.
To make you aware of that.
Tax.
Yeah.
Hey, Darren, I mean, we're making it a standard occurrence to have you keep coming back before us week after week, and I really enjoy seeing you. But what I would ask, since you've got to come back to us with the 5-year plan next week, I would ask that you put together what the process and timeline is going to be for this group, for this body, to make a decision on 530th north of 190th, and I say very clearly north of 190th. I had a conversation with Steve Shanker next week. Ames is not in a position to do anything south of 190th on Grant right there, and I don't think we, with the way that thing is in Ames, in Story County, in Ames, shared by Ames and Story County, I don't think we can do anything there. But I think we need to have the full conversation and process on making a decision on that one, and I would ask that you also include the process for how we're going to go about determining are we doing something on 590th, 600th, both, or neither, and lay out a timeline where it's reasonable for you for us to make a decision and you be able to get this done in the next 12 to 15 months.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what
that doesn't seem like a whole lot on your plate. That seems like something you can put together. Yeah,
I've got a lot of questions about both the two roads out here, West and Nevada, and also the one between Gilbert and Ames. I struggle with those a lot. So.
But it's reasonable to me for Mayor Pop to be able to go back to Gilbert and say, not necessarily say, okay, they said they're going to pave it or they said they're not, but here's the timeline and the process that they're going to use, and here's what we have to do in order to keep it on their plate. And same thing for Nancy. Nancy has been waiting a long, long time. We may get to a decision that Nancy doesn't like if we get there, but it's completely reasonable for her to say, this is a problem, it's been a problem, and I want you guys to address it for me, and give her the timeline of what we're going to do that in.
Right. Just to add to the conversation, to show you the complexity of what we're dealing with, last evening I attended a meeting at Farwell Brown Auditorium at 5:30. This was brought about by a petition of 74 people to actually pave Adams Street, I believe, and the process that took place, there was a survey, and I have a copy of the survey that went out to the property owners. It was Adams Street paving from Calhoun Avenue to Dawes Drive. There were only 6 people of that area that actually attended that meeting, but what the conversation did for me was to point out some of the same issues that property owners are going to be faced with whatever decision we make towards paving, Grant Avenue extension between Ames and Gilbert within that school district. And the argument oftentimes the argument there had a lot to do with, they used the term voluntary assessment. And that voluntary assessment created a lot of dissension amongst the people because they saw it as a form of tax increase, and whether or not that assessment could be increased over time or was it a set amount, because there was never any discussion about an actual total dollar amount that the property owners were asked. So they were in the process of asking for voluntary citizens to step up and say, yes, I'm willing to commit X number of dollars toward this project, understanding that in the funding, it is typical to ask property owners to pay a portion of the improvement. And the issue there for them is, they talk about paying property taxes, and they asked about snow removal budget and all of these types of things. So it was a good discussion, and they were only talking about $160,500 cost just for this little small area. But it clearly pointed out the fact that individual property owners who didn't think they got a benefit from it could not understand why they would be part of the assessment or asked to pay a part of this. So I think it's going to be part of the whole dynamics that we're facing. And so the question for as we go forward is, the cities have certain authorities that they can assist with as far as special assessments, I believe. The school districts have none. They cannot. So therefore, if we are talking about, we need to develop a framework where we can work with the cities, and in this case it would appear to be the city of Gilbert, because as what I'm hearing, the Ames is not willing to do anything at this point in time, particularly on the Grant Avenue area south. So how do we move forward with coming up with a cost and a way that people can feel like that if we're to go forward with this, there is a funding mechanism that will be in place that would allow us, whether we're talking 2 years from now or 3 years. Now, just speaking as from a personal point of view, my initial thought would be, is why not wait until after the road was the school was built before you did anything, because you're going to have traffic and trucks and all of that going across. I would think that maybe it would be a good idea to wait till after the school was actually built if we decide to move forward. But being an engineer, being looking at the roads, maybe that wouldn't be a good option. I don't know that yet, but that would be part of a consideration that I would like to have. So there, and I took some good notes that I wanted to share with the board at a later time, because they also talked about the CIP plan. And the big issue for some of these people is that this is the entryway to a park now. And so it's an access to a park, and whether or not that should be the responsibility of the city rather than the individual property owners. So you see, there's a lot of issues that's going to come up. But I do think that as supervisors and as mayors and city councils and school board, we need to create a forum to allow the public to address concerns as to whatever direction we go, rather than make a decision outside of the public arena and then have folks saying that they weren't aware of this and didn't have an opportunity to weigh in and comment one way or the other. The bottom line is, whatever decisions we make, there's going to be some that's not going to agree with it. If we do nothing, there's going to be some who will be unhappy. If we decide to move forward, there's going to be some that's going to be supportive of that. But then the others are going to say, but why should I have to pay for a part of that? And if you do it for this school district, does this mean that in the future, if other schools decide to relocate, will I have to also be assessed to pave a road from that area? So I think there's a discussion that is worthy of us making sure that we have an ample opportunity to understand the mindset of the people who are possibly going to have to help pay the cost, if that's the case. Because I don't see us having the ability within the general fund right now to be able to allocate those dollars. So
that's the biggest part of the discussion. Where are the funds going to come from? There's a lot of needs out there. We've been showing you that in our tables, but where are you going to come up with the money to do it is the hardest part.
Yeah, and we just need, Darren, all I'm asking for is we need to lay out what the conversation is that we're going to have, how we're going to go through the process, and when, in these two cases, when Gilbert and Nancy can expect us to make a final determination and how that feeds on. But we've got to look at all of it. I mean, money is a reality. You know, sometimes people don't want to hear that. It is an absolute reality, and we've got to figure out, in many cases, when to take from Peter to give to Paul to get some of this stuff done. But it is completely reasonable that we lay out the timeline and the process that we're going to use in making these two very specific requests that have come to us from citizens of Story County.
Are you about finished? Because I wanted,
yes,
to ask a question to the mayor before. Based on our last meeting, did you receive any additional feedback locally? Your council probably hasn't met, I suppose, or have they? Regarding, we have not. Okay. But would you kind of concur or Rick's comment? You think this would be very helpful for us if we were able to move forward in this manner? So to continue this discussion. Right.
Yes, it would. It'd be helpful just to, as Rick said, to get to a decision.
Okay.
We
might want to get that. You might come to the microphone because we are. This is an audio of our proceedings, please. And I apologize for not asking you to come up initially.
No problem. Thanks, Wayne. John Pop, Mayor Gilbert. We did not have specific comments, but we did get a lot of comments based on the article in the paper. It says, well, this sounds very positive. We appreciate the effort. So I think there's a lot of energy that was encouraging with the feedback we've gotten so far with you guys' comments as well as what was in the paper.
Okay.
So thank you.
Absolutely. Darren, one other thing that I'd ask of you that I'm going to want to know next week as we continue this conversation is I want to have in front of me and discuss the policy that we have on dust control and putting down millings. And then specifically, I want to know what it would cost us to put millings down on 600th as a stopgap, very, very decidedly kicking the can down the road for this summer. So if you could bring me those two pieces of information as part of next week's meeting, I'd appreciate it.
Like I said, I've just got a lot of questions and comments on both of these other projects, and I'll save those until next week when we're going to have that discussion.
Okay. All right.
Thanks.
Thank you, Darren. Thank you. Good. Nancy, anything else on this topic before we move on?
I'm not sure I know what question you're talking about. I do, and I'll save until next week when we're going to have that specific discussion. So,
all right.
Tune in next week.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you. Moving on to item 3 on additional items, discussion and consideration to hold a public hearing regarding expansion of a confined animal feeding operation. Environmental Health, Margaret James.
Hi.
Margaret, thanks for waiting.
Right.
Let's see. Switching gears here. Let's see here. Okay, Paul asked.
Thanks, John.
Paul asked me to come today to talk a little bit about whether or not the Board of Supervisors should consider having a hearing for this application that we received. So in March, on March 27th, we received a DNR construction permit application and manure management plan for the expansion of an existing hog confinement from Ray and Tammy Ely up in Lincoln 27. Let's see, how do I... There we go. Generally located about a mile east of Zeering and about a mile southeast of the Zeering Lagoons. This is part of their application. The green shows that the expansion, the red rectangle up there is the existing hog confinement. They will go from about 1,200 market hogs, and then the grand total then with their expansion would be up to 4,164 market hogs. The blue below shows the alluvial soils, so the confinement will not be on alluvial soils, and there is no karst topography in this area. The yellow indicates where they plan to do their manure application. Zeering is the dark rectangle up there. It's kind of hard to see. Getting really close to city limits, obviously. This slide shows all of the proposed and existing manure application areas. So you can see we're getting some density issues up there from the different confinements. So for the Ely expansion, let's see. So whether or not they have to go through construction permits, master matrix, things like this, operation permits, it's all based on size and then on expansion, whether or not they were built before April 2002, I believe it is. So the public notification is required for something of this size, and we will print that on April 5th of just this Thursday. Master matrix is not required because the existing confinement was built prior to April 1st, and the expansion is below the limit. And DNR operating permit, again, is not required because of the size. So we are allowed to, the county is allowed to and welcome to comment on any applications that DNR receives, especially talking about separation distances, soils and hydrology of the site, the availability of land manure application, whether or not this new construction will impede drainage from other properties, and then any other oddball thing that you want to come up with.
Margaret, could I interject for a moment?
Yes.
That last slide only applies, though, if we go through the public
hearing.
Hearing. Is that correct
no,
or not?
No, sir. You may submit comments with or without a public hearing.
But for you in the past, you and Leanne, when you've both been involved and we've had when it's triggered the master matrix and we've done the work through that process, that was done mainly because of the size of the improvement triggered the master matrix and we had to basically take place. Under the scenario that is put before us, the environmental aspect of that would still be something that would come under your jurisdiction as a result of the construction permitting process?
Yes. There's several different sizes. There's those that don't, those under 500 DNR pretty much leaves alone. 500 to 1,000, they must submit a manure management plan. And then, let's see now, above 1,000, then you run into the construction permit group. And then the next level would be master matrix. And then the next level is permitting. So there's all different sizes things. You can always comment on them. You can always comment on them. I don't know how, you know, and DNR I'm sure would take it to heart, but not, they legally do not have to do anything. Master matrix defines things that the permittee has to do, and it becomes part of their permit. These comments will just be considered by DNR, but they do not necessarily become part of the permit. So you may hold a public hearing just as a means of receiving comments in sort of a very specific way, but you do not need to do so. Another thing that you could do is, in addition to the public notification, is send out letters to the surrounding property owners, just keeping them better informed rather than depending on them seeing the notice in the legal section of the newspaper. Or post things at the post office, things like that. You know, just getting the word out there a little better. Having a public hearing or not having a public hearing, you can still get comments to DNR.
And tell me again what's going to happen with our comments that go to DNR. I mean, everything you said prior to this looks to me like this is a rubber stamp. They meet the requirements. DNR is going to say, yeah, go ahead and expand.
That's pretty much it.
I mean, so we got something that's going to happen, as I see it. I mean, I understand DNR, we don't get to make the decision. We get to offer comments, but it looks to me like DNR makes their decisions based on how many animals, does it meet these requirements, this meets the requirements, therefore it's going to get done. So what we're trying to figure out is how many comments we want to bring in.
Well, we need to decide whether or not we want to hold a public hearing.
We want to hold a public hearing.
I mean, Margaret asked me here a week or so ago if I thought we needed to have a public hearing before this, and I thought, well, this is something that we as a board need to decide, not what I thought individually. So I know that if something triggers a master matrix in the past, we've had a public hearing in that, and we need to decide whether or not we're going to, whether this warrants a public hearing or not. And with the change in our meeting schedule, they won't have to decide whether they're going to do it at night or if we're going to do it during a regular board meeting. I mean, you're exactly right. I don't think no matter what anybody says, this is probably going to get approved anyway. I mean, they meet all our criteria. There's no red flags. I would ask that if we could simply notify the landowners, adjacent landowners, and let them know advise them that we'll take any comments they want to make. But I don't know that this would warrant having to have a special public
hearing. I'm really hesitant to have a public hearing on something that we don't get to decide and we're not going to have any impact on. I mean,
right, and that's the difference between this and the master matrix. I think that the comments that the county submits to the DNR as a result of something triggering the master matrix do have some weight. I mean, I think...
If it was master matrix, I'm with you, but this is not.
That's correct, yeah. I don't believe it will be highly attended if we had a public hearing.
I think it's completely reasonable that we serve as a conduit for any citizens that want to make comments, to be able to make comments through us. We compile everything and we get it onto the DNR. I'm just not seeing, unless you guys can help me with it, I'm not seeing where a public hearing is necessary. I think what's necessary is to give Margaret the ability to notify all these landowners that we are compiling comments to give to DNR in this case, and we'll be glad to accept them if they get the comments through her office.
I think that would be fine.
That sounds reasonable to me. Absolutely.
Having been through several, I do think that would be the appropriate way to move forward.
I think it is important, though, to get that information out there so that people can express their concerns and let the industry know of the type of environment that is up there. Are they willing to have a bunch of new confinements coming in? Or not.
And I think that's, and I read that somewhere in something from the DNR that they've seen an increase. I mean,
they have
with the rise in pork prices. Farmers are back in a position now where it can be a money making enterprise. And I would assume that we're going to see more of these in the future, whether or not they're new ones or not. But I definitely think we're going to see expansions of existing facilities.
Well, and I believe that any time that this board can have an impact on what the ultimate decision is. Even if we're not the decision maker, if something we do is going to impact the ultimate decision, then to me it's completely appropriate and even necessary to have a public hearing. But if we're talking about just having a public hearing for the sake of having a public hearing and it doesn't do anything, That to me is a waste of everybody's time, including the landowners. Let's collect their comments and let's pass them on and let them get filed by however DNR decides to file them and move on.
And the only reason this was brought to your attention is because DNR said that most counties do have public hearings, but it is not a requirement. So I just wanted a decision from the board on this.
I'm willing to defer to the two of you. I just, if we're not making the decision or at least impacting the decision, I don't.
And I agree with you. I think if we proceed this way, and in the future if we start to get a lot of interest and a lot of comments, and a lot of people would like to, you know, would like to air their discussion in a public forum, then I think maybe that's something we can look at in the future. But for this, I think this is fine. As long as we make notice for the consideration.
So there is discussion and consideration. So if I'm hearing you correctly, it would be appropriate to indicate a motion that we have decided either to not move forward with holding a public hearing and so forth.
I would make the motion that we not hold a public hearing on this expansion, but we do ask Margaret to notify the adjacent landowners and welcome them to make comments to the Board of Supervisors.
Second.
And moved in second that we not hold a public hearing, but empower Margaret, our environmental specialist, to communicate with the landowners of this project moving forward and welcome any comments that we can then pass on to DNR. And there further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Margaret. Thank you for bringing it to
Mark.
Our attention. Okay, item four, consideration of a proposal between Harold Pike Construction and Community Life for siding at $23,000 each and adding insulation to the attic space at $5,700 each for Duluth, Hazel, and Calhoun Group Homes. This was a non-budgeted item. Facilities Director Al Hahn, welcome.
Morning.
Morning.
I'm talking with Gayla and looking at some of the projects that we need to do before the end of our fiscal year. This is a project that we talked about last year, but we just couldn't get it in the time constraints to get it done. We're looking at siding the group homes, new Tyvek, new insulation in the attic from Harold Pike, $23,000 and $5,700 for the insulation. I'm pretty sure that there's going to be a rebate from Alliant, but I don't know that yet until we actually go through the process. There's money in the mental health fund to take care of this, and it's got to get taken care of before June. So we're ready to move on it if the board agrees.
And how old are these group homes?
Siding on them is going to, it's entering its 23rd year.
It's vinyl siding?
Yeah, yeah. It's starting to fade. It's starting to crack. It gets brittle. We've had a couple places the siding blow down, come off the house and blew down the street. And back when they were built, Tyvek really wasn't a product yet. So we're gonna add Tyvek to it, which will help air filtration through the sidewalls. We put new windows in them last year, if you remember. So this will give us a lot better energy quality to the houses.
Okay.
It seems to me, you know, as we went through this last spring and we're trying to get all of our mental health related facilities up to par as we await with great anticipation on where the state is finally going to end up in the whole mental health process, that this fits right in line. We've asked that we do it with available dollars. We know that we need to keep our ending fund balance in mental health as low as possible in order to put Story County in as favorable position as possible. Deb, I just ask you, are these things, as you and Gayla have talked about it, are they necessary expenditures that we've had on the list for a while, and where does this put us as you see it with our ending fund balance?
Yes, on
probably.
We were looking at
No.
Turn it on, please.
You must.
The light doesn't work. Come on.
Light doesn't come on.
Yes.
And Lisa and I were just looking at projections for June 30th, and right now we're looking at about an 8%, and that was before this item that Al's talked about came up, which is good to keep us under 10%. It's probably even better to get closer to 5%, which I know that gets uncomfortably low because we've got the first 3 months of the fiscal year that we need to draw dollars for payroll and other kinds of expenses. But with the incoming property tax relief dollars in August, we should be in pretty good shape. But I think it's something that, at least for the service end of things, is necessary because the residential care facilities are a service that not only our citizens locally use, but community life is getting referrals all the time from other parts of the state to use that service. And so if we can keep those facilities in the best shape possible, they will be used, and I think it is money well spent in the long run.
Thank you.
I guess that's the way I look at it. They're 20-year-old. It's 20-year-old siding. I've got 17-year-old vinyl siding that I'm going to have to do something with. So it's. I think we're making an investment in these three group homes that are an integral part of our community life program. So.
And with the way mental health funding looks like it's going to go, we don't know when we're going to have the opportunity to do this again. I congratulate both of you on prudent use of dollars to allow us to have these remaining yet in this fiscal year. And I would move... approval of all three.
Second.
Been moved and second the approval of the proposal for the siding as identified before us today for all three, Duluth, Hazel, and Calhoun. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you. You're going to stay there. Good.
Okay. The next item is consideration of a quote for net switch and maintenance between IT and IP pathway for HFC remodel, $5,596.12, again, non-budgeted, both Sandra and Al. Okay.
Okay. that one. Well, we realized we needed the switch because there's going to be people both upstairs and downstairs. The county attorney's office is upstairs. If we were going to use the same switch, we might run into the problems as the switch we currently have because there's a length limit on how far the cables can run. And Veterans Affairs is going to be on the second floor. Office and the wiring closet, the new wiring closet is in the basement, and which is on the east side of the building. So there's a 295 foot limit, and I don't know if that would make it to the current switch. Plus, it would cost almost $5,000 to have Communications Innovators run the cables if we had to run all the cables downstairs if we move the switch downstairs. So we talked with Stephen Webb. He's our IT consultant that you had had worked with as far as helping our department out, and he recommended that we get an additional switch. So we have one switch in the basement and one switch on the second floor, and then we just need one cable between the two floors to feed the network, to feed into the network. So I got three different quotes for switches. One was a little more expensive than this. One was a different type of switch rather than a Cisco switch. We're used to working with Cisco switches, so at this point I think we should stay. That was another thing Stephen had recommended is even though the other one's cheaper, we don't have any idea are the people that we work with for configuring our switches may not be familiar with these other switches other than Cisco. So we are asking your consideration to purchase with mental health funds, and there's available funds to purchase this as part of the remodel, this additional switch that we will need to put in the basement of the Human Services building.
Yeah, that was going to be my question, Al. We can do this out of what we approve for the remodel of Human Services.
Yeah, as you remember, last August we started putting all this stuff together with the architects and not really knowing what we were going to do there in that IT area. We allowed between $50,000 and $60,000 in that original $650,000 gateway that the architects told us it would cost. That was in there, not particularly to switches and stuff. It's just in there knowing that we have to do something in that IT
area. I think we all expected that we were going to provide internet to every one of our offices over there. I mean, I don't think that's out of line. And if this is what it's necessary to get it done, and we can do it out of budgeted dollars, even if we didn't budget this specific item, to me that just looks like part of finishing the space.
I would move approval of the contract for the network switch.
Second.
And moved in second to consideration of the project quote from Network Switch for $5,596.12. Further discussion? Hearing none, and all in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you.
Well, Leanne skateboards herself.
Me too. Okay. All right, so we better have Mr. Wall handy. Okay. Why would you do us a favor and let Scott know that at 11:30 we're going to maybe, so we can move forward. Thank you, Scott Wall. Okay, all right, moving on. Leanne, discussion and consideration of the review committee recommendation for the RFP for Squaw Creek Watershed Management.
And I will be really fast for you. You'll recall in early March we sent out RFPs for the establishment of the WMA for Squaw Creek. Those were published in the paper on March 15th with deadline for responses last Monday, March 26th. We did receive four proposals, and you received a copy of each of those. Bolton & Menk out of Ames, MSA Professional Services out of Ankeny, Prairie Rivers of Iowa out of Ames, and Snyder & Associates out of Ankeny. A committee was established by the board at last Tuesday's meeting. Those three individuals met last Wednesday using the evaluation criteria that's on the screen, and I also shared that with you at last Tuesday's meeting. They then scored each of the three proposals. Each proposal was right around that $17,600 mark. Both the firms of MSA and Snyder & Associates indicated in their proposals they would be willing to work with the Prairie Rivers RCND of Iowa, but the committee in their recommendation did recommend that the board consider selecting Snyder & Associates as a contractor for the creation of the Squaw Creek Watershed Management Authority, and that is what's being recommended to you today by me representing the committee. If you do accept that, we also ask that you ask the county attorney's office to help develop the language in the contract or professional services agreement and have that on next Tuesday's agenda, and then ask our department planning and development to notify all the proposals that they were either awarded the contract or were not awarded the contract. I'll be glad to answer any questions.
Hi, you guys. This is all part of a grant that the county received late last fall for this watershed management authority.
Okay. And do you see any particular issues as far as the contract language? Are there standard contracts that we would be reviewing from Snyder & Associates to see if it was applicable for our purpose? We're not necessarily having to create a different, okay. But there could be some questions that as a government entity that we may need to call to their attention depending upon the language within the contract. So what we're really doing is asking for to review the contract and work with us in having a final document that could be brought forth for us at a later date. Okay. Okay.
And I did share with the board the deadline for this project to be finished is May 30th, so that's why you have these three time frames. Okay. We have the ability to request a 30-day extension. I'd like to keep that only as needed.
Okay.
Paul, help me. I mean, clearly Prairie Rivers is heavily involved in everything we do.
Prairie Rivers wrote the grant for the county and has done some preliminary work for us up to this point. We needed to go through a procurement process in order to satisfy the community development block grant dollars that we got through. I think finally they came through the DNR is where they came from. So the Prairie Rivers has helped the county out up to this point with the grant and some of the initial work to identify some of the partners that are in this watershed. And from this point, we need to go through the procurement process. And Prairie Rivers was part of that process. However, from what Leanne has told us this morning, Snyder & Associates was the choice of the committee that reviewed the RFPs to continue from this point.
And that's something I didn't clarify. You don't have to accept the recommendation of the committee also. You just did establish them to give you some feedback and a recommendation. You may choose to go with the contractor you see fit.
But that was, in my opinion, part of the reason for having the committee there to review the different proposals and so forth. And for us to reject that right now, that means we would have to go back, in my opinion, to take a look at the various proposals and then have a grounds for awarding that to someone else. And I don't know if that's really in our best interest at this time.
Wayne, I think I agree with you completely. I want to be sure I understand what we're doing here, because it seems to me that we're pulling the rug out from under Prairie Rivers a little bit on this. That said, I'm not opposed to pulling the rug out from under them. I mean, if we've got a better proposal, we've asked this committee to do it. I just want to make sure I completely understand what we're doing here before we do it. And Paul, I'm looking to you because you're the guy who can.
Right. I've had conversations with Penny Brown Huber, who's the director at Prairie Rivers, about this, and she understands the position that the county is in, and that the procurement process should have been done initially. However, it was not. And now that we've been made aware that we needed to do the procurement process in order to satisfy the community development block grant funds that we got, that's why we're kind of.
We took a step back.
Took a step
we really
back
did
in
have
order to.
To
do this. So Prairie Rivers is aware. She's fully aware that it was a competitive process and that they may not have been the ones that were awarded the contract, if you would. But it's something that they're aware of, and she is more than willing to work with anybody that the county selects to do this watershed work for Story County.
Thank you, Rick. That is an excellent question. I'm glad that we had an opportunity for clarification of that. So, okay. So with that,
I'll make a motion that we.
Leanne, are you finished? Anything else? Okay.
I'll make a motion that we accept the committee's recommendation for the RFP for the watershed management work to go to Snyder & Associates.
And I will second Paul's motion.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to accept the review committee recommendation for the RFP for the Squaw Creek Watershed Management Authority and award the agreement to Snyder & Associates pending the final contract agreements that will be worked out and presented to us at a later time. I certainly don't want to assume that we automatically are approving this, knowing that the contract still needs to be reviewed by the county attorney and ultimately approved, so that we know what our liabilities will be. Okay. So with that, if there are no further questions, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Okay. Thank you. We have reached kind of an interesting dilemma. So I'm going to, with the board's permission, I'm going to ask that we temporarily suspend the board proceeding so that we may take care of a drainage district trustee short meeting, because we had thought we were going to be done. So, Nancy, you kind of got the juices flowing and created some additional discussion, but it was good. So at this time, board... is the term that I want to use is just we will recess.
How about if I move temporary adjournment of this meeting?
Right. There we go. Until as soon as we're done with the drainage district, which shouldn't take very long. Yeah.
Move temporary adjournment of this meeting to resume as soon as we finish drainage district business.
Okay. Second. It's been moved and seconded that we approve the temporary
Adjournment.
Adjournment of this meeting until we conclude the drainage district business. Is there further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Well, what?